everybody. How are you? Y'all hanging in there? Good. Glad to hear it. I can tell by the enthusiasm, you're all doing really well. Anyways, good to see you all, those watching online as well. It's good to be here today. Just to let you know, we are starting a new series today on prayer and fasting. And in the back, by the AGM booklets, are some booklets you can take home as well. And there'll be a prayer guide in there, a reading plan. Also, some ways to pray into as we talk about prayer and fasting over the next several weeks here. So, opportunity to pray into those things as well, and specifically for our community, our church, each other as well. So I encourage you to take a copy of that booklet. If you need one per household, that'd be great. But if we need more, we can print more off as well. And the Bible reading plan is in there. It's about a 50-day Bible reading plan, and we want to do that together. So, yeah, just a time to really press in a little bit more with the Lord. And that's kind of been our theme this year so far. Even, like I said this before, the year-end reflection that we had recently, and just being able to continue and grow in our faith with the Lord and with each other in community too. So do that, please, and get involved. And I think if you've never tried prayer and fasting, I'll talk more about fasting next week. It's just a really powerful spiritual discipline. Now, when I talk about fasting, and again, I'll talk more about this next week, we're not asking you to fast for 21 days or for the next 3 weeks. Hey, if the Lord calls you to do that, go for it. But we'll talk more about the fasting side next week as well. And so that's kind of the plan right now. Then after that, which ties in really well to the Parent Q app, as was mentioned earlier, we're going to be doing a quick series on parenting. What does that look like for us today? Now, you might be thinking, well, I'm not a parent anymore, or I always believe you're always a parent if you've got kids. And so it's an opportunity for us to grow and learn together. And it's challenging being a parent in this day and age, and it's not easy. And so we're just going to have some talks about that. It gives some tools to equip each other and to encourage each other as well. So that's kind of what we're looking at for the next several weeks here. And then I'll give you an update on the next series as we dive into that as well. I mentioned it before, but we'll be looking at some of the epistles that Paul wrote as well. So that will take us probably right into June. So we've got some things going on. We're excited about that too. So again, glad you're here this morning. So today we're going to talk about a scripture out of Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. And it's just an idea of just getting us centered into why we're doing this series and why we follow Christ and why we spend time with the Lord. And it ties in to prayer and fasting. And it's connected together as well. Like I alluded to earlier, we'll talk more about fasting next week. But today is more of a conversation about our hearts and where we're at with the Lord and what's important to us and how do we prioritize Jesus in our lives. And perhaps we're focused on some other things outside of Jesus that possibly cause us to not have a deeper relation with the Lord, or we seem far from him as well. So Luke 10, verses 38 to 42, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me or your devices, and we can do that together here. So I'm just going to read. And as this, the screen will have the verses as well. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations they had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, we talk about spiritual disciplines. We talk about our lives as Christ followers. It's important to understand, I think we get this, that the Lord transforms us, that our hearts change because of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing we can do on our own that will allow us to become closer to Christ. Obviously, we can spend time with the Word. We can worship. Those are great things to be doing. Yet the Spirit leads us into a closer relationship as well. And when we talk about spiritual disciplines, I know for some of us that might be a bit of a challenging thing to think through, disciplines. And that word sometimes for many, depending on context and whatnot, could mean like you're in trouble or you did something wrong. And in our context here, we're talking about how we can continue to dive into deepening our relationship with Jesus, and how we can have tools in our lives as well. And there should be, hopefully, a deep desire in your life to want to do that. And if not, hopefully this short series will inspire you to want to invest in your relation with the Lord more often, and something that we'd make it more of a priority for ourselves as well. And also, the spillover effect is amazing. When we spend time with Jesus, obviously we change, but it also allows us to connect and fellowship with others, to encourage and come alongside, and to be a blessing. And you know, when you think of Acts chapter 2, this idea of just spiritual community, biblical community, and how they ate bread, had fellowship together, and they prayed for one another and connected that way. So that's the desire of our hearts as well. So Dallas Willard said this: we can become like Christ by doing one thing, by following him in the overall style of life he chose for himself. Now, when you look at the scriptures and you think of the disciples, they tried to emulate Christ's life, didn't they? Jesus led by example in many ways. So let's think about Christ's life. What did he do? He prayed, so we should pray. He fasted, and we should fast as well. He sought solitude. Scripture talks about that. So we should probably do the same thing. Jesus often worshiped the Father, and we should be doing the same thing as well. And we've done that this morning through song, but we worship God through Scripture as well by understanding more of who he is. Jesus served many people, the least of these in the community that he was in. And for us, we're called to do the same thing, the least of these, not just people we like or know, but we're called to serve people that might be not a part of our life, but come alongside as best as we can, because that's what Jesus did as well. See, in order to be like Christ, we need to live like Christ. And we know fully we live in the flesh. We're not perfect. We need God's grace and strength. We totally understand that. I hope you understand that. But the beautiful thing is, when we look at the life that Jesus modeled, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we living the life that Christ has lived? And are we trying to walk in the footsteps as he did? It's not an easy thing to do, but it's something. It starts with spending time with him. It starts with being in his presence. It starts with being humble. It starts with being repentful. It starts with all those things where we can come to the Lord. Now, this story we're looking at this morning is a good story, but it's often misunderstood as well, this particular story here, and I'll get into that a little bit. But we see here that it's amazing. We find Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, and to receive teaching of this person, Jesus, his religious leader, who had lots of influence. But what's interesting about this, Jesus is sitting there teaching to a woman by himself, essentially, and she's sitting at his feet. That was not a very common thing. A matter of fact, it break the rules of society back in those days. You weren't allowed to do that, especially as a rabbi, as a teacher. You weren't allowed to do that at all. Men weren't able to be in that situation. Women weren't able to be in that situation. And we see that's happening here. And it's shocking because Jesus is sitting there, and what do we see? We see Mary to receive his teaching right at his feet, just sitting there and enjoying the presence of the Lord. It's an amazing picture. And when Martha questions him, Jesus gets right down to business, doesn't he? What does he say? He acknowledges the anxiety and the burden of the situation, and it's all considering what's going on. And if you look at these scriptures, we have a choice here. We have a choice. And Mary had a choice, didn't she? She had a choice to engage. And she chose the better part in her devotion to God, to sit there. Now, when we think about that for a moment, we all have choices to make every single minute of our life. And sometimes it's this fatigue, exhaustion fatigue, where we have to decide what we're going to wear that day, where we're going to go that day, what we're going to eat that day. And for many of us, those decisions can be tiring. And so I think it's good to be predictable in some things when it comes to our day-to-day, to have some sort of system where it's not going to cause us fatigue to constantly make these decisions over and over and over again. But when we consider that too, when we think about our lives and think about Jesus, and we think about the choice that we have, and every single one of us in this room and those watching those online as well, we have a choice when it comes to our devotion to Christ. We absolutely do. And we have to ask ourselves that question is, the choices we make with the Lord and spending time with him, what does that look like the six other days of our life? You know, how often are we spending time with the Lord? Now, there's choices here. Martha could have made the same choice, but she didn't. She was doing something else. So she had an option to do what she decided to do. And same for us. We have a choice as well. We are held responsible for our choices, aren't we? And we have to understand that too, because often at times in our lives, when it comes to our spiritual disciplines, when it comes to spending time with the Lord, we often relegate him to just a small portion of our day or at all. Perhaps maybe not even a consideration in our day. And we have to consider that. And maybe we've had said many times to ourselves, I don't have time for Jesus. You know, we're so busy, we have so much going on, we don't have time for the Lord. And this conversation I know oftentimes for Christ followers in the church, when the pastor starts talking about devotional life and spending time with the Lord, we sometimes think it's a guilt trip. I'm not here to guilt anybody at all. I'm simply here to remind all of us there's a joy and a beauty of spending time with the Lord in the scriptures, through the Bible, sitting at his feet and being in his presence. And the encouragement for this is hopefully that we would recognize that even more deeper and deeper and deeper in our life. I was talking to somebody just a few days ago about their devotional life and what does that look like for them. And we're just having a good conversation about that. And it wasn't something that was necessarily a regular thing for them. And so we just talked about how it's hard to miss something when you don't do it on a regular basis. Because for me, when I don't have a quiet time on a regular basis, I miss it. I can tell because it's been a regular part of my life. I've been perfect in that. I've missed some days. I think we all have. But we have to ask ourselves the question, do we want to spend time with the Lord? And what about our schedules? What happens in our life? And if you want to prioritize your life, you want to see what's important to all of us, where we start is on our calendars. That's when we know what's really important to us. And I think it's important for us as Mary and Martha have a choice here, and we need to do the same thing and choose wisely. See, scriptures talk about spiritual disciplines, but there isn't a lot of direction on how to do those things either. But the better choice would be for us as Christ followers is to spend time with the Lord. Even the disciples, that they spend time with Christ, they had many questions too. The disciples asked Jesus at one point, Lord, teach us how to pray. You know, they hung out with Jesus, they saw miracles, all these things, and yet they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And so for us, we need to continue to invest in our relationship with the Lord. But it takes time, it takes effort, it takes readjusting our lives in terms of really important and priority for us. Because it's easy for us to say, if we're being honest, if somebody was to ask you, and I often ask this question to people, how's your soul, how's your heart with the Lord? And it's easy to say, I'm good. But when you get into the nitty-gritty, what does that good look like? Is it based upon what we're doing, or is it based upon what we're being with the Lord? And that's where it starts, is being with Jesus. And I hope that you understand that. I hope it's a reminder for me as well. But the hard part about spiritual disciplines, and it's an interesting thing for us, and in any discipline or life, it takes training and it takes practice and it takes effort, doesn't it? We don't just wake up one day and decide, well, maybe you can do this. I certainly cannot. I don't wake up one day and say, you know what? I feel like running a marathon today. So I'm going to run, I think it's 26.2 miles, I believe it is, for a marathon. So I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to hit the road, and I'm going to do a marathon. I'll probably pass out on the side of the road, and I'd be done. Because I didn't train, I didn't put effort into it before, I didn't set myself for disciplines, I didn't eat correctly, I didn't do any of those things that help us get into that physical shape. Now, I'm talking obviously about something that's more physically related, and I understand that. But physical training and spiritual training are actually, they go well together, because we can learn a lot from both of those sides. And when we think about that too, we have to prepare our hearts. And I've said this often, when we have communion, we ask folks to prepare during the week, not just the morning of. How much spiritual preparation do we put into our relationship with Christ? When you think about athletes, when you think about people who are really good at their craft, in the business world, whatever you may look at, they have put time and effort into what they're actually doing. But it takes discipline, it takes energy, it takes a regiment to a certain degree. Now, I don't use that regiment in a way to say we do these things out of being a robot. That's what we don't want. We want our relationship with Christ to be filled with the Spirit. Now, there's going to be days where we struggle, our relationship with Christ. And when we think about the story here in Scripture, there's an opportunity for us to be reminded that we need to choose the good thing, and that is Christ. And how well are we doing that as individuals? How well are we doing that as a church? And what's beautiful about spending time together in Scripture, whether it's in community, in a care group, or individually, there's growth there. There's accountability there. There's support there. Now, I'm not sure about you, and I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. We recently just turned over a calendar into the new year, and most people will typically make some sort of resolution, whether it's to get into better shape or make, some people said, read the Bible through the year, whatever the case may be. But generally speaking, within a month, people have given up. People have stopped. People have just said, I'm done. And a majority of those people that give up, whether it's a spiritual discipline or a physical discipline or whatever the case may be, for those who don't have a partner or a friend or others coming alongside, those folks typically have a higher failure rate than those who have success rate. The ones who have a success rate are the ones who come alongside with each other and hold each other accountable and support each other and pray for each other. I'm part of a group right now here in Edson with a group of guys that are holding me accountable for physical activity and eating healthy, etc. And I haven't been able to go yet on a Friday night, but they meet Friday nights and they work out together. And there's a text going back and forth and there's good support. And being in that group has kept all of us, I think, in a good rhythm to be able to do what we need to do. Because at the end of the day, for me, I report weekly to this particular person and say, I've worked out X amount of times this week. And I know in my head that if I don't get my workouts in, I have to respond and say, didn't make it. And that's not a good feeling. So it's a great motivation to have that accountability. And if we can tie that into our spiritual lives too, I think it's really important. Like, how often have we ever asked anybody else to hold us accountable when it comes to spending time with Christ? Now, when I talk about accountability, it isn't this thought where we're going to check up on each other, and if we miss a day, or if our quiet time turns out to be 15 minutes instead of 30, we're going to beat each other up. We don't want to be legalists about this either. Not at all. But have you ever reached out to somebody and asked them to help you grow in Christ? Have you ever asked somebody to do that? I think it's an imperative part of our relationship with Jesus and with each other. But in our culture we live in, in this Western culture, which is seeped into the church as well, one of the badges of honor we seem to have is we're busy. I'm guilty of that, that we're just busy. How was your week? Oh, I was so busy. What's going on in your life? Oh, I'm just busy. So what are you busy with? And I think often for us, these activities we do are good. I'm not saying those activities are a bad thing, but we have to ourselves the question is, what do we need to shuffle in our life to make Christ a priority? What do we need to shuffle? What do we need to shuffle in our lives a little bit more to make the church a priority? And our relationship with each other. See, the account of Mary and Martha is about priorities and options that we have. And this message here is, again, simply that we spend time with Christ. Now, this message, often people have looked at it and said that, well, women need to be keeping up a busy home and being in the kitchen and working and not spending time. That's been twisted, and I've heard scriptures about this, stories that people have taken these verses and saying, well, no, women should be doing their own thing and not spending time with the Lord, and that's not true at all. What's amazing, even if you took two men in this scripture, the principles are the same, that we spend time with Christ, that we sit at his feet. That, and what's great about this scripture here is that these two women are dominating the story, aren't they? Obviously, Jesus is there. And that should be shocking for many people, especially in the first century. And they think about the context of what's going on. Because women were dismissed as being marginal. They didn't have a voice. And yet Jesus allowed them to sit at his feet. The woman at the well, Jesus engaged with her. And there's many, many stories in Scripture where Jesus came along all people to encourage them in a relationship with him. Now, activities like Martha and what she's doing, they aren't bad. Like, don't think for a moment Mary is good and Martha's bad. That's not true either. We have to consider that too. There's just some choices that are better than others. And it's important for us to make the choice of spending time with Christ. And how often do we do that? And as Jesus is invited to this home, you know, Mary is so captivated by Jesus, isn't she? Like, just picture that moment. Mary's sitting there at Jesus' feet. And she's just captivated with the Lord. Sitting there and essentially just learning and growing and being blessed in his presence. What an opportunity for us. When we have opportunity to do that, to spend time with the Lord. And yet, in the story, there's a lot going on. And Martha makes this comment again, you know, to ask Mary to help her, basically. And what does Jesus essentially say? Jesus essentially is saying that you are distracted by many things. And we can be the same way. She is so worried about the duties that need to get done and missing the moment, the presence with the Lord. How often do we do that? We're so worried about everything else we need to do. We care more about the troubles of our day. We care more about the demands of our own time than actually spending time with Jesus and nurturing our relationship with God. You know, I think we've all done that. I think we've all done that. But the only thing we need to worry about is what? Is Jesus. That's it. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, there's things to get done. Yes, we need to do things. We need to go to work. We have jobs. We have families. We understand that. However, in our day-to-day, where does Jesus fit? Now, some of you might be thinking, wow, is it really that simple? Yes, it is. And I think we confuse things so deeply by having this checklist with the Lord, and we just start with Jesus. Matthew 6:33 talks about this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. Seeking the kingdom of God. And Jesus is a part of that, obviously. So how well do we do that? What's your soul searching for? What is your spirit searching for? If you're a Christ follower, your search is over. You have Jesus. And we have to ask ourselves the question, are we making Jesus primary in our life? And this is a hard conversation for many of us, but it's a part of our spiritual discipline and hopefully our joy to want to spend time with the Lord. Because I know for myself, I can't do this on my own. I can't follow the Lord on my own strength. I can't help lead a church on my own strength. I can't lead my family on my own strength. And neither can any of us. But where does Christ fit in your life? Is he a priority? Is he that important? Because we can say all the right things, we can do all the right things, but where does Jesus really fit in our day-to-day life? That's when we really know how we're connecting with Jesus. You know, our activities, our hobbies, all these things we do, they're good. There's nothing wrong with them. Well, obviously, depending on your activities and your hobbies. But there's no good things. They can bring us joy and laughter. And, you know, yesterday I went side-by-siding with some friends. We had a great time. That's a good thing to do. And there's other things you can do in this community as well. And it's good to do those things. But is that how our days always are the focus? And Jesus and his word are eternal. And they bring us contentment. They bring us joy. They bring us hope. In a relation with Christ, we have eternal life. And it's really that simple. The gospel is the most profound thing you'll ever hear. But I believe when you break it down, it's a very simple thing. Colossians 1 talks about this. Verses 15 to 20. This is what Paul says. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, one of the beautiful phrases of this scripture here, and it says, in Christ Jesus, all things hold together. All things hold together. Now, I am not a scientist. I am not a guy that knows a lot about science from this day and age. But what's interesting about this, there's a thing called a protein molecule called a laminin. And we can see that slide. And a laminin is basically an adhesive molecule. And some of you probably know much more about this than I do. And again, I'm not a molecular biologist or anything like that. But what's interesting about this, the laminin, which all of us have in our bodies, is essentially the glue that holds our bodies together. That's incredible when you think about that for a second. But what's amazing about the laminin, if you look at this, and if you were to Google it right now on your phone, don't do that. But if you went home and Googled it, you would see all the laminins look like a cross. I'm not making this stuff up. It's in science. And what's amazing to me when you think about this, that is, as it looks like a cross, and Scripture tells us that Christ holds all things together, including who we are, I just love that God is so creative that the thing that holds our body together, this adhesive glue that holds us together, is shaped like a cross. Who else could do that? Only God. Perhaps you've never seen this before. This should blow your mind. This should blow your mind. It absolutely should. Because when you look at this in the medical review and the pictures, that's what holds us together. But Scripture tells us what? That Christ holds all things together. And it's the fact that it looks like a cross, I don't think is a coincidence. I mean, it's something to be said about that. And I think it's a powerful reminder that what? Jesus holds all things together, including our lives. And we need to understand this, that if he holds all things together, then we should ask ourselves the question, what are we distracted by and what are we worried about? And if he holds all things together and nothing can tear that apart, what are we doing with Jesus? Where does he fit into our lives? It's because of his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness that we can have a relationship with him. And I love this picture. And I want you to go home and Google it and take a look at it. Because when I was doing my research on this, it just touched my heart. It really did. And it was just powerful to look at that. Now, as Christ holds all things together, and I know some of you are probably thinking as well, and I've mentioned it earlier, that how do we do all this in this busy world? We have to get things done. We have to serve. Things have to get done at the church. Things have to get done in our lives. And I fully, fully can appreciate that because I live the same life as you do. But when we think about that picture and we know that Christ holds all things together, perhaps today we need to reattach ourselves to Christ. That we need to be real clear and honest and transparent of our relation with Jesus. And ask ourselves, am I really spending time with the Lord? How important is the Bible to me? How important is the worship of the Lord to me? And there's telltale signals in our life, and we could tell that we're probably far from Christ. Because we can read the Bible But we have to allow the Spirit to move in our lives as well. We have to have a heart that's humble, a heart that has a heart that hates sin, that wants to honor the Lord. And sometimes in our life, we can be angry inside. We can be people who gossip about other people all the time. We can hold grudges against people. We can have this bitterness and sin in our life, and yet on the other side of our mouth, we say, yeah, I love Jesus. It doesn't work that way. See, James talks about this as well in the scriptures, that fresh water and salt water cannot come out of the same place, meaning that we need to live a life that honors Christ, and we have to be careful in the choices we're making that are more of a priority, that poison our heart to each other in our relationship with Christ. You know, I've been with people where they're praising God one moment, and the next moment they're cursing somebody out or gossiping about them. And it's a wonder. And I think we've all struggled with that. But I believe this, I really do, that the more time we spend with Christ, the more time we spend in the Bible, the more time we spend time confessing and engaging with the Lord, I believe that stuff, that sin, the shackles that hold us down, will be loosened. Will be loosened. Not because of me, and not because of you, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to ask yourself, church, this morning, and those watching along as well, where do you stand with Christ today? How important is he really in your life? Do you live a life of legalism? Do you judge? If those are the cases, come back to Christ. Spend time with the Lord. Ask him for your help. Ask him to help you. It's not easy. I understand. We're all busy. But that word busy bothers me. Because I think we all use it. But we've got to quit using that word busy and just ask ourselves the question, what's priority? What is priority? And only you know the answer to that question. I don't. I've had conversations with many about where you're at with Christ. But you know the answer to that question. Now, it doesn't mean, again, that we live every single day with this schedule and we have to check out every box, and if we miss a day or something happens because of it, that we're guilty or feel shameful. No, that's a lie from the pit. But we have to understand this. In order to nurture our relation with Christ, we have to be with Jesus. There's no way around it. So we can serve the church, we can serve each other till we're blue in the face. We can run all the errands, we can do all these things, we can do all the doing we want. But if we are not tied to Christ, we're just doing things for Jesus. And there's many religions out there that have to do for Jesus to get into heaven. We are not based upon works. We are not. Yes, we should have actions in our faith. James talks about that. But let's be clear. So here's some questions for us to consider. Should be on the screen. So, I'm curious, just asking yourself this question in your own spirit. Which person do you resemble in the story? Mary or Martha? Now again, we're not picking on one or the other. We're just looking at some choices that were made. Which one would you be? Are you so busy serving God, again, that you don't have time to sit at his feet? It's a hard question. But are you so busy doing stuff for the Lord that we're not sitting on his feet? Do you feel rushed to go through your personal devotional time, your Bible reading and prayer, so that you can go do something for God? You know, one of the things for me, when it comes to my quiet times, I can't do my quiet times in the office because I easily get distracted. I easily want to go on my computer. I want to get stuff done. I want to make phone calls and texts. So my quiet times will happen in my home. I've done them the odd time in the office over the years of ministry. But for me, I need to be in my house or in a park or or somewhere, but not where I have access to actual work. And when I do my quiet times, I try not to have my phone with me unless I'm using a Bible app. But that helps me stay focused in the moment and not worrying about what I have to do. Now, I get it. Some of us are wired to a point where we look at the scriptures, we look at some Bible readings, and we sometimes pick our devotional books, and we go through the Christian bookstore online, and we see, oh, 50 minutes with God. No, that's not bad. Oh, 5 minutes with God. I can do that one. Like, we do that. Let's be honest. Not all of us all the time, but we've done that. And we want to sometimes spend the minimal amount required with God. Now, I don't have an answer for you. What's the period of time you should be spending with God? But I will say this. It's got to be more than 1 minute or 2 minutes. There's got to be a heart commitment. There's got to be this intentionality of wanting to spend time with God. Now, if you have to start small, start small. And I've always said this. Spend time with the Lord, whatever that looks like for you, whether it's in the morning, in the evening, midday. But are you spending time with Christ? Number three there, are you willing to shorten your acts of service so that you have enough time to cultivate your relationship with God? And if we struggle with that and we're not willing to give up the doing, we have to reset. You become so discouraged and anxious when you see how much work there is to do in God's service. It can be frustrating. I've been at this for a long time. And at the beginning of ministry, I used to hold on to things and try to control the narrative. I've learned over the years to let go and let God lead as the Holy Spirit does. And do you feel like the world rests on your shoulder, or can you readily leave the world to sit at Jesus' feet? These are just simple questions, and I hope you're taking them seriously to ask yourselves these questions. And I hope you are encouraged by the story of Mary and Martha, that we have a choice. So what will be your choice the rest of the day? What will be your choice tomorrow morning or tomorrow in the day, the rest of this week? I encourage you to have this conversation with a loved one, with somebody you trust. And if you've come here today and you haven't picked up your Bible in years or months or weeks, you haven't had a fruitful prayer life for months or years, you have sin that you're holding on to, or anger or bitterness towards someone, if that's you here presently today or watching online, I just want to say this to you. God is good. He is merciful. He is forgiving. And he is righteous. And I encourage you, if that's you today, to talk to someone, to share it where you're at, and be honest about that. And if someone comes to you today and tells you that they are parched, their spirit is dry, they're far from God, they're bitter, they're angry, I want you to show grace and mercy with a listening ear, with love. But I also don't want you to water the gospel down or water the life of Christ down, what it means for us to follow him. But you do it in a way that allows support and encouragement and honesty. We need that. We all need that. Now, to wrap this up, on the back there before you leave, I encourage you to pick up the book that we have ready for you. It's a 50-day reading plan. So if you were to start on if you were to start right away and you read every day, March 26th would be the day, the last day of the reading plan. However, if you don't go every day, something comes up. And if you're reading a different Bible reading plan right now, that's fantastic. You can use this one that we're providing as a supplement as well. These are just tools we're giving you because we want to grow in our faith with Christ together. This is a part of discipleship. And as I said, scripture earlier, as we read that, Christ holds all things together. I hope that phrase itself in scripture encourages you today to know that he is the glue. He is the one that gives us what we need every single day. Let's pray together. Father, we come this morning knowing full well that we don't have all the answers, but when we look to the scriptures, but when we spend time with you, our hearts can be encouraged to know that you are leading us. And Lord, as we've been talking about prayer and fasting, and we're going to walk through a season together as a church, Lord, to pray and to fast, and as you lead us through that, I ask Jesus that through this time, over the next several weeks and beyond, that you would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, release those shackles, those things that have caused us to not make you a priority in our life. I pray, Lord, there'd be a reawakening in our spirit today. There'd be a freshness to our relation with you to recognize that we have to start with you. We have to start by spending time with you. And I pray, Lord, as we do spend time with you, that our hearts would be open, that our ears would be open, our eyes would be open as well, to see how you're speaking to us through the Bible, how you're speaking to us through solitude. Lord, I pray that in our times, if there's things that need to be percolated from our spirit to the surface, that we need to get right with you and others, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us in those quiet times. You come in a small, still voice, Lord, and I pray that we are so tuned into that voice that we would not be distracted by everything else in this world. So, Lord, I pray for all of us that, Jesus, you would fall fresh upon us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you'd reawaken us, that you'd give us the passion and the joy to want to be with you. And we don't do this out of legalism, Lord. We don't do this because we want to be robots, Lord. We do this because we desire to be with you. So, Lord, thank you for each person here. Thank you for those watching online. Thank you for the work you're doing in our hearts. And I pray today and this week would be something happens in our life, in our spiritual life with you, that will be different, that will allow us to continue to go forward, not by our strength, but because of you, Jesus. And I pray against guilt and shame in Jesus' name. I pray that there'd be just a blessing of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, renew that joy for us. Renew that joy that people need desperately. Lord, I pray that you would allow your spirit to move in such a way that you would seek out every crevice of our heart, every dark thing that is in our spirit that causes us to walk in the flesh, that glorifies ourself. I pray, Lord, you'd break those things in Jesus' name, that you release those shackles. Lord, thank you for this time. I thank you that we can do this together, that we are stumbling towards heaven each day, knowing full well that we don't have all the answers. We are not all put together, but because of your grace, your forgiveness, the power of the cross, your death on the cross, because we are reconciled to God because of you, Jesus, that we can come to you in these moments. So bless each one. Thank you for each one and the life you've given us today. In Jesus' name.